like to announce that the anti-Godzilla weapon is ready.
You could call it a Mechagodzilla. The one that came out of Mount Fuji is a cyborg. Mechagodzilla.
Mecha G!
Cyborg?
Mechagodzilla!
Mechagodzilla! Beat Godzilla to death.
Hello. Welcome to the end of the Year of Mothra. I'm Baz.
I'm B.
And today we are talking about the latter two-thirds of the Mothra trilogy from the 1990s. Rebirth of Mothra 2 and Rebirth of Mothra 3. To help us do that, B decided to finally pull her fucking weight around here and get us a guest for once instead of me doing everything like normal.
I got a cool guest.
And that guest is Jess. It's a Jess guest this episode. Hi, Jess.
Hi. Oh, I'm Jess.
It's Jess.
How are you?
I'm the evil one.
Doing? You're the evil one? Oh, yeah, because it's like you're Belvira.
Yeah.
And I'm Maul because I'm sort of glass mode right now, and B was seduced by King Ghidorah or something and was pure evil for a time until she got better.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah, so, all right, Jess, it's good to have some fresh blood on here. It's been a minute. Because that means that we get to do one of my favorite parts, especially when I want to delay talking about a bad movie, which is just, you know, give you the good classic guest interview. Which, you know, we'll start off with the classic question of, do you have history with the Godzilla series? And if you do, like, you know, how'd you get started? What led you to love lizard monster movies?
Actually, I do have a really robust history with Godzilla.
Let's go.
I've watched most of the films, or at least the ones that I consider that count. I've watched the 2014 Godzilla. Mm-hmm. I watched a movie from Hollywood Video that was a knockoff of Godzilla.
Nice.
Okay. I've watched many long plays of the Rampage series for the N64 and GameCube. And I spent many a afternoon in my middle school computer lab playing Rampage on DOSBox.
Okay. Oh, fucking classic DOSBox shit. Oh, man. So what ones don't count? What Godzilla movies don't count? I'm curious.
All the other movies I haven't seen.
Okay, so it's no, more of a Rampage.
In all seriousness, I have seen more Mothra movies than I have seen Godzilla movies, which is not hard, considering I've seen three Mothra movies and one Godzilla movie.
So you've only seen 2014, and you've seen just these Mothra movies. Wow.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
Have you at least seen, I don't know, the Rampage movie?
No, God, no.
That's better than any of the movies we watched. That's better than any of these Mothra movies.
It's debatable.
Like, it's leagues better. It's like actually...
It's leagues better.
Oh.
There's something going on in there. It's at least like...
There's at least a like modicum of charisma and energy in that film.
George is funny. I like George in that movie. He's flipping off the rock. That's hilarious.
He's a white monkey. He's a white gorilla. What could be funnier? It's representation.
Yeah. Wow. Sometimes I feel really bad about doing this show. And this is one of those moments. We got somebody that's like, you know, never really, you've not gotten to watch any of the good movies. So it's like, oh, hey, here, you want to watch fucking dog shit with us?
Okay, I want to get ahead of the allegations that you two abuse animals such as myself.
Well, we're also animals,
so I
had a blast
watching these movies.
We watched these movies together. That was a lot of fucking fun.
Yes.
I was alone.
I had a fun time watching these movies. I think I like them.
I think I will, as pained as I am to say it, I think I will someday watch Rebirth of Mothra 2 again.
Mm-hmm.
I was alone.
You suffered.
I watched these
You suffered like Christ.
Now, hold on. We are off the topic, right?
Yeah, you're asking me questions.
So, all right. So you have limited history with the Godzilla series, yes. Jess. What's your favorite Godzilla monster? Is it Godzilla? Is it Mothra?
Actually,
is it Dagara?
So here's the thing. I have limited experience watching these movies, but this is actually a true story. When I was a little kid, I used to go to the elementary school library, and they had those old like books that were just like talking about like movies and everything. And these old paperback, but not hardcover, and they were like movie monster books and stuff like that. They had a classic Toho book about kaiju. I always really thought that the story of Rodan as described in that book was really cool, and I thought Rodan was really cool.
Absolutely based.
So you're a Rodan head. I can get behind that. Rodan's good. Rodan's a cool guy or girl, depending on who you think survived out of the suicide. Actually, no. Depending on what gender you think the baby is. Mm-hmm. Could be non-binary. Could be a non-binary pteranodon, potentially. And then, importantly...
Oh, boy.
This is also my favorite part of having a new guest on. So I'm sending a link in the recording Discord. I want you to click on that link, and I want you to pick a favorite for me.
Ooh.
You gotta pick
Take your
one.
Time, scroll as needed.
Sure. All right, here's the thing. I like hot sauce, but I am not a pain slot when it comes to hot sauce, but I do want something that I'm going to remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, we don't know what the Scoville levels are on any of these sauces. Like, they're not listed. Any of these that are, like, worth having, they're, like, they gotta be at least a million Scovilles, but I'm sure there's some, like, baby ones where it's, like, you know, you get your only 100,000 Scovilles or something like that.
Having tried a number 11 out of 10 hot sauce on this list, they get pretty fucking hot.
Ooh.
I wouldn't know.
I'm sorry, okay?
No, it's fine. No, it's okay.
I've been busy.
You know. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. And I'm sick. You know what helps with a stuffy nose? Spicy
stuff.
Well,
the ones you picked out are the least spicy of the pack that we got, so...
Yeah. That's fine. They're still... Whatever. Anyways, we're distracting Jess from picking...
No, trust me. I am reading through all three pages of this right now.
Good. This is great, because almost everyone else has just been, like, sight unseen. They just pick, you know, one of the first ones. I mean, really, it's kind of a shame that, like, Mega Gears' Glowing Orb of Doom is still gone.
It's still gone.
That's the one you pick.
Like, at the very least, you know, there's still Hedorah's Dark Gaseous Nebula of the Orion P. Jalapeno.
That one was tempting. I do like the P. Jalapeno, but I am coming here for Mothra Hot Sauce. I am coming here for Godzilla Hot Sauce. I want to try something that's a little bit different. I want to try something a little bit interesting. My secondary picks tied would be King Ghidorah's The Death Song of Three Storms, Roasted Garlic Habanero Hot Sauce. Roasted garlic is a really good flavor profile for habanero hot sauce. The alternate one was Gabber's Malicious Dreams of the Electric Deity, Orange Mango Pineapple Habanero Sauce. These are the tie choices for if I was at like a regular place and like they had them on the menu. Though I do think the Orange mango pineapple is just a little too overcrowded with citrus. It's just going to, like, muddle. Which is why my choice is Baragon's God of the Earth Banana Habanero.
Good choices. Mm. Good choices.
Because I am curious what a banana habanero hot sauce tastes like. If I'm going to, like, understand the taste of the banana. And it will be a novelty for me to have said I had the Baragon hot sauce.
Hell yeah. I think that's the most nuanced answer we've ever gotten.
Yeah, usually people just go by name. So, thank you for giving it more thought than anyone alive has ever given any of these hot sauces.
Made to order. Welcome. Made to order.
Made to order hot sauces, right, yes. We can't forget. Folks, when you order and you use the code MechaPodzilla...
Nothing happens.
...on the Godzilla Foods website... Be sure to remember, it's made to order. Delay, order it 2 weeks ahead before you think you're going
to
order it.
If you're planning to eat a bunch of hot sauce during a podcast recording, order it well in advance of said podcast recording.
Now,
Mothra.
Two movies for this episode. We'll start with, I'm gonna give a little summary on Rebirth of Mothra 2. Completely unconnected to Rebirth of Mothra outside of the Elias returning. There's a fucked up submarine dragon that was made to eat garbage and decided, and then it gives birth to a billion little starfish babies. The starfish babies eat faces, and they're acidic, and that's bad, and they're going to choke out and drown the entire ocean in baby starfish. There is a Furby that two Bulk and Skull-type characters come across, and they... And this creature turns out to be key to stopping this submarine dragon. But not in the way that you would think. Or maybe in the way that you think. I don't know. but it the creature escapes Bulk and Skull and manages to make it to the mainland of Japan, which is, not the mainland, but an island, I forget Okinawa. What, I don't they, really
it's
care.
It's in Okinawa.
To Okinawa, yes. the home of King Caesar. It makes it to the home of King Caesar.
Who is not here.
He's not here, unfortunately. And runs into a girl who has, like, maybe the chillest single mom ever. Like, she's in the start of the movie, and then we don't see her ever again. And it leads to... Honestly, I can't fucking...
God, this movie is like the Kingdom Hearts 1 of Mothra movies.
It's...
And it turns out that this little Furby has magical powers because the girl has two boy bullies that, like... And bullies a strong word for what they are. They're just, like, shithead 10-year-olds or whatever. But one of them scrapes... Basically, the Furby pees on you and you get better.
Yep.
It heals... It heals your wounds magically through super, through peeing on
super
you.
Super magic piss.
Through its super hot laser piss. And this ultimately leads to also Belvira's back and she's doing some bullshit or whatever. And then Atlantis comes out of the ocean. And then the submarine dragon wants to get in there. The Furby takes them to the temple. The submarine dragon starts to blow it up.
Hologram melt.
And then it culminates in just like really cheap, unfun looking, like Indiana Jones style hijinks. There's a hologram lady. It turns out that the Furby is the super special treasure that they need to stop the submarine dragon. And Mothra kind of shows up incidentally, gets rolled, gets probably traumatized from drowning.
Yeah.
Seeing as he saw his mother drown in front of him in the last movie.
That's right.
But then it's ultimately fine, because I forget how, but then Mothra goes Water Saiyan, gets a new powerful aqua form.
The Furby ascends into heaven and turns into a rainstorm.
Oh, right. Piss. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Furby blows up in the sky. And yeah, the piss heals Mothra and gives him a new form. And then it is just like the last movie where Mothra just completely rolls the enemy monster. It's like, you know, with a bunch of million billion powers. And that's the movie.
Yeah.
The end.
It is not a plot-intensive movie. It is absolutely
it's
vibes-based movie.
Yeah.
And the vibes are bad. The vibes are
The vibes are reprehensible.
I This is honestly here's my initial thought on this movie. You can tell that Tomoyuki Tanaka genuinely thinks he deserves to live. Like, this Rebirth of Mothra 2 is the strongest argument for AI art that I have ever seen. I think this is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. This is the worst movie that we will ever watch for this show.
Yeah.
There is nothing worse coming.
This may be the bottom of the barrel.
It is, though. There is no maybe. This is the bottom of the barrel. There is nothing worse than this. Versus Megalon is art house cinema compared to this.
Yeah.
This is... this movie made you sick. You literally became ill of this movie. This
movie made me physically ill. I woke up the next day ill and weakened. This movie sapped my energy.
It ruined my night when I watched this. I watched Rebirth of Mothra 2 at like 6 p.m. I was mad until I went to bed at 2 a.m. It was a bad day. It was a bad fucking day. It is...
Hi, it's there, me, this is... Belvira here. I would like to play Devil's Advocate.
Oh, okay. Go ahead. Please.
Oh, gladly. So here's the thing. This is a bad movie. I am not going to... No bones about it. This is a bad movie. This is an... This is a bad movie from top to bottom. But I will say it makes an interesting topic of discussion because it's not... It's a pretty boring movie, but it's bad in ways that are interesting and keep you, at least kept me invested in the entire thing.
Yeah, like, it's, you could watch it. It just hurts to watch, but it's also like a, it's like a hot sauce, you know? You gotta suffer. Yes.
It is not like a hot sauce. No, I'm putting my foot down. But not like a hot sauce. It's also
surprising in the way it's bad.
Yes.
Like, okay. So here's the two things that I wrote down as part of this. I didn't take a ton of notes. I was mostly just blogging as I went. Here's my review of the first Mothra, of Rebirth of Mothra 1. You put this movie on and do whatever while your kid watches. Mothra 2. You put this movie on and start ignoring your tasks to watch with your kid and quietly mutter, "What the fuck?"
Yeah.
Because it's just consistently doing shit. And it encapsulates a certain flavor and atmosphere of 80s movies, because this is very clearly trying to do Toho Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's very clearly trying to do Toho Indiana Jones with the, you know, lost city of Nir Akanai and all the stuff that's going on, and it's just, it is Scooby-Doo as fuck. I kept not coherent track of every single time the fucking kids ran up to a window and looked out and were blinded, but it's enough, and it's a shot that happens enough in there for you to just be like, please stop reusing this shot. But it encapsulates a certain sort of indulgent nastiness of like 80s kids films that you don't see with shit like Stranger Things, or you don't see with shit that try to capture that 80s nostalgia, like all the piss, honestly. Honestly, all the piss.
It's just two times. But it's only two. It's not like they're pissing a crazy amount in this
movie. He turns into piss rain.
Also, no, there he doesn't turn into piss rain. It's just glitter.
There's also a POV shot of lying on the ground and Gorgo pisses on you.
Waterboarded by his piss.
Yes.
It foams.
It's healed by the
it's
piss.
It's foamy.
It's
he pisses hot. Piss.
It's not even that. It's the piss isn't even like that. What's the fucking word? It's not that like obscene or anything. It's like such like baseline kids movie humor. Because here's the thing: it's not them doing Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's them doing The Goonies.
Yes,
this is The Goonies, and like all The Goonies is already kind of like whatever. The Goonies is whatever cinema. It's not good. It's not bad. It's just kind of like there, and. This movie is like, it's aping a movie that's just there. And so it's even more nothing. None of the kids have any fucking problems. None of the kids have, like, they aren't mean to each other, really. They get over the bullying fast.
Sure.
The Bulk and Skull are, like, they're barely even bad guys. They don't threaten the kids anytime seriously.
They very much threaten the children, and it's very deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah. Okay, but here's the thing. I do agree. This is the Toho take on the Goonies. But unlike other people or other groups that try to take on the Goonies, they are shooting for the nastiness and the angling at the grotesquery of the Goonies. Because, yeah, a lot of people remember the Goonies for being the haha child adventure movie. But also, the Goonies is a movie that is taking a lot of profound and leering shots at a man with assorted developmental issues. And you don't really tend to see that sort of shit in contemporary adaptations of that sort of 80s kid adventure vibe. And while I do agree that it is really made toothless by the fact that it is fitting the 80s kid adventure into the Toho mold, they're still going for that lingering on grotesquery.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. Because
what's grotesque in this movie? There's like, all right, there's the one Gorgo. Shot of the starfish getting pulled off the guy's face.
It's Gorgo and
which
the
is
acid.
One.
Yeah.
And then there's the two shots of Gogo with like some pee. And it's like, it's not even like really yellow pee. It's just, you know, it's just some water.
It's just the sheer volume of it.
It's two times.
The volume of piss that comes out of him.
Listen, I was falling asleep for this movie.
Also, there's nothing ends up in a kid's throat.
Yeah. It's
like this isn't like
I think you needed to watch this movie with someone because mm-hmm. we watched this in a group of like what? It was like four of us. Three of us? At least three of us. And yes. We were cackling the whole time. It is a riot when you have someone to laugh at this film with. But if you are just yes. alone, mm-hmm. this film is laughing
Misery.
At you. This film is
yes.
making a mockery yeah. of you and of cinema and of filmmaking as a practice.
Mm-hmm. You should not watch.
Well, the thing is like, I don't think I would have enjoyed this more watching it with other people. Mm. I would have been embarrassed. I would have been embarrassed to watch. Watching this movie is, it made me like fully understand the perspective of the average like American citizen, what they think of when they think Godzilla movies. They are thinking of Rebirth of Mothra 2.
Oh, sure. I can see
yeah.
that.
They are not thinking of anything that's like good or interesting. They're thinking that it is a pile of crap with two 15-minute puppet fights that fucking suck and have like next to no choreography.
Shout out
or anything yes. interesting to watch.
Shout outs to the underseas fights in Rebirth of Mothra 2, where they don't even try to make it look like they're underseas or put it in the Toho pool. They're very clearly in a room with the lights tinted.
Yeah, I mean, well, that's fine. That's how they've always. That's just how that's done. Because you can't. Listen, you can't have the puppets in the water. It's too expensive, and it's too. You got to save that for when like you're done with it for the movie. And
I
you can
get
just throw
it,
away
but like
after.
Make the puppets fight slower. They were very clearly, you know, the choreography wasn't there for the scene.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's just the consist. That's the one consistent thing with these movies is that the choreography is just awful, and we'll see some more of it when we continue the discussion into the third movie. But like, that's the thing is, there's nothing in here. There's no like. That's what really sucks about the third one. There's no Godzilla tail slide. There's no belly flop. There's
yeah.
no, like, absurd sort of stunts
There's no...
in this because they are puppet fights.
And...
They aren't, like, puppet versus suit.
Yeah.
They aren't suit on suit. It is two puppets crashing into each other. Or, really, again, because it's the fucking 90s, it's just... We're going to draw the fight onto the film after we filmed it. Like, we're going to just do all the lightning and, like, the little butt blasts and the shoulder blasts and stuff that's just... It's so fucking boring to watch. There's nothing kinetic or exciting. The music is all sort
there's
of, like,
no, there's
cheap.
Barely...
Everything in this movie is
there's
fucking
There's barely
cheap
any
as shit.
Music in Rebirth Mothra 2. It sucks. It's
yeah.
so, like, atonally, like, just... There's no energy to it. There's no timing. There's no sense of using the music to enhance the film. It's just, oh, we need to have music in the movie because movies have music in them.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Rebirth of Mothra 3 really made me realize, oh my god, 2 didn't have a soundtrack.
No. Like, they just gave up. They just gave... And also, the other thing, too, with 2 and 3, less so with the first one, But these are all downwind of the 90s Gamera movies.
Which are...
The Mothra trilogy is just more Gamera, but bad.
They saw the Gamera trilogy and were like, hey, we need to make money off of that. Let's do it, but like not put any budget into it. Those Gamera movies are great. Those movies look awesome.
They do. Because there's actual like filmmaking and artistry behind them, besides, unlike the Toho ones, which Mr. Toho only cares about money, etc., etc.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's various, like there's the, especially Dagara is like a Gamera villain. Like that is 100% a pollution monster created by like Atlantis, basically, that went wrong. It's the same origin as like Gamera and Gauss from the 90s movies. And Mothra is a very Gamera-like figure in these films. Mothra gets new forms every film, becomes more battle ready, evolves to take on an ultimate foe that is a more evolved version of the foe from the first movie in the trilogy. And but unlike in the Gamera movies, where every battle felt like emotional and pitched and like it could go either way, like there is no emotional through line. It's just waiting until Mothra gets the power. Nothing fucking happens in the movie until the stupid fucking fairies sing their dumbass little song, and then Mothra gets a power-up and then instantly kills the enemy monster.
But it doesn't happen the first time. They have to sing the song at least 3 times for it to have any effect. Because the first time is just, hey, Mothra, come, and then Mothra gets fucking owned because Mothra Leo is a chud.
He's an awful chud, son, we know. We discussed this. And I felt so hateful watching this movie. Like, you know, do you know what it feels like to watch? So, like, you know, have either of you had that happen where you watch a movie or show, or you play a game, or you read a comic or a book, and you just read it, and it just slowly drains the life and love and reason to live out of you?
Yes, I watched Rebirth of Mothra 1.
I felt that way.
But it's not on the tip of my tongue.
Well, I guess I'm glad that 2 didn't kill you dead. At least
2 has like an energy to it. Like at any point in 2, I was not sitting there waiting, Jesus Christ, this is just going on and on. I was like, what the fuck? What, like, I kept questioning what I was watching, so I was still engaged. 1 is just dull. It was just dull and dragged on and felt like it was 6 weeks longer than it actually was. 2 has stuff happening. It is...
Yeah. It does?
Yes.
Like what?
Like, it's at least when you're looking at the screen, it's like, oh, something is going on. Something is occurring. We have Gogo, and then, like, it's just...
Oh, Gogo, who bounces around everywhere, and everybody wants Gogo.
Yeah, and at least, you know, they throw that shit around. They fucking throw him into trees. They just, like, toss him. He has balls.
Y'all need to watch weirder, more fucked up movies.
Oh, I got some recommendations for you. But
yeah, I know. If this movie is like, oh, there's something weird and wild, just, if you think Mothra 2 is weird and wild, you need to watch weirder fucking movies.
No, it's just that stuff happening. Like, you can be like entertained and like it's absurd, and it's like, oh shit, something's going to happen. What's going to happen next?
But also, in particular, I like taking a thing that I've watched that confuses me and then dissecting it and trying to figure out the pieces that make it come together. In particular, like, Dagara is not a compelling enemy, but the design of Dagara looks like you told Akira Toriyama to design King K. Rool, but he had to have the body plan of an inbred pit bull. And that's interesting to me. Like, this is a movie that has, like, the rah-rah 90s... Okay, I'm thinking about Gamera. I love that Gamera. Mothra 1 had a pro-environmentalist message. That was the most boring, you know, don't deforest, blah, blah, blah. This one, by virtue of setting it in Okinawa, is tackling the environmentalist message by way of, like, hey, the red tide and phytoplankton are dangerous, by virtue of the allegory of an ancient civilization made a garbage monster that's doing a nano plague.
It's not, which is nonsense.
It's nonsense. It's not good in execution, but I do find the constituent parts compel me, it interests me to pick it apart and then go fuck off and do something with it myself.
It is more interesting to watch a car crash happen in real time as you are looking at this film than you are than seeing the wreckage of a car in the aftermath.
Having recently watched Crash together fairly recently with B, this is a movie about watching an autopsy, and it turns out it's actually a pretty interesting autopsy.
Yeah.
What Crash is? Or this one?
This.
No, Rebirth of Mothra 2. Rebirth of Mothra 2 is like watching a movie and then like going into your found footage horror basement and then autopsying the film. And then, you know, to me at least.
It's like the thing with it is objectively just awful. Like there is nothing good here. It is constant insults to filmmaking and constant nonsense and constant bullshit and just... I have the film open and the first piss incident just came on and oh my god, it just looks so much worse than I remember. It just flows.
It's just spraying water. It's nothing. It's not even gross.
It's foamy.
So what?
Foam, Baz? Am I learning this about you now?
Do you not listen? Oh my god. Oh, it is. I feel fucking crazy. I feel fucking crazy right now for hating this movie.
I hate this movie too, but it's fun to hate.
You are constantly trying to find something in this. This movie needs to be fucking killed, dead, and buried. Honestly, everyone that have involved in this movie should be killed.
I am literally currently explaining.
They should be drowned.
What is happening with my thoughts on this movie? It is so bad that I can't look away, and I have to acknowledge. How did someone make this? How did someone fuck up a movie this bad? Like, it doesn't do basic filmmaking stuff. It doesn't establish anything. It cuts away mid-establishing shots. It screws up
the whole final plankton thing. It just goes away.
Every aspect of the film is misery. And
it's a deeply ill-considered movie. It is a deeply ill-considered movie. I have a really salient point that I want to bring up that I find incredibly interesting. So, Nirai Kanai is the equivalent of heaven in an indigenous Japanese religion. So not only is this movie like blunderingly incompetent and made out of rotting parts, it's also like deeply appropriative in a bad way, because it's not one of the religions that tends to get a lot of play. It's a specific offshoot of the Ryukyu Islands. It's a type of, like I said, indigenous religion. And I'm thinking to myself, what would the American equivalent of this be? And I'm thinking, oh, okay, it would be like going to South. It would be like if in the 90s a bunch of people set a film on a reservation being like, we gotta go to the Great Spirit Dance. It's a bad movie. It is a bad movie, and I'm looking at it trying to figure out why they made it. And I find that interesting, even if I don't find the movie itself good. I find the experience of watching it shamble around interesting.
Yes, shamble around is a great word. This is like a walking corpse of a film. Mm-hmm. And it is
misbegotten.
Yes, there are pieces slowing off of its corpse as it shambles. And I am looking at these pieces and I am like, how did this not stay attached? Why are you like falling apart? What is wrong? What deep sickness took root in this movie? It's just, how did someone make this and think, yeah, this is good? How did people see this and think, yeah, that was cool? Like, did people watch this?
It's Tanaka throwing his weight around again. It's Tomoyuki Tanaka throwing his weight around again. He's the planning and story guy. He's the big, like, he was the big wig at the time. He
deserves his fucking...
He deserves to be drowned. He deserves, and I think his name
attached to Godzilla 98.
Well, you want to know why Rebirth of Mothra 3 ended up being, you know, better than Rebirth of Mothra 2?
It's because he died.
He died the year before it came out, yeah, so he couldn't fuck it up. Thank God. Thank God he died, drowned badly. Like, you know, may his memory be a fucking curse. You know, and honestly, Kunio Miyoshi, also bad. Masumi Sutani, bad. Just all these people, like, listen, it's... You gotta, all y'all, you gotta do it. Every last one, you have to do it. They gotta do it. This is, God. Alright, so we're done talking about Mothra 2, right?
One last comment.
Okay.
In retrospect, the knowledge that the script of Rebirth of Mothra 2 was written by an 86-year-old man on his deathbed makes it make a lot more sense.
Well, it wasn't written by him. It was planning and story.
Produced.
Yay. So he did.
He was directly involved with the creation of this film.
Yes. And again, he was a big heavyweight producer in Toho. So he got to do, this is his, I'm going to die, let me do whatever I want.
I have another comment I need to make about Rebirth of Mothra 2. Rebirth of Mothra 2 is a Tsutomu Nihei story. This is a Nihei, like, this is a Blaine, like, this is
Tsutomu Nihei structure with hot women in.
Yes, Tsutomu Nihei is the guy who wrote Blam. He's the guy who wrote Knights of Sidonia, Aposims.
This is a mech thing. Is this a mech?
He does
thing?
Do mecha, but like, it's not his big thing. Is mega structures. He likes a big, scary mega structure. This is a movie about several children finding a strange little creature. That is the plot of Appa Sims. It is about these children taking this creature to a mega structure. They go into the mega structure after being chased by a big monster, and they must find the cyber lady in the depths of the megastructure and present the creature to the cyber lady. I think Tsutomu Nihei is just aping Rebirth of Mothra when he's making Appa Sims. Like, it is a megastructure. The chasms in Nilai Kanai go down, like, miles. They do an establishing shot, and I'm putting air quotes around that because it's really a really awful, like...
Anyway, we get to the point. We're almost done talking about this crap.
Like, they show it. It's this ziggurat that rises from the ocean is colossal. Like, it is enormous beyond measure. And then there's just, like, depths and strangeness. And I'm just like, okay... This is like if someone took a Nihei story and was like, wow, let's bad make that it. Mothra and be bad.
Yeah.
And it sucks.
Let's make this structure profoundly uninteresting.
Mega structure? No, mid structure.
Yeah.
Anyways,
that's the movie. All right, so we're not going to do conventions or anything like that. Just, B, what's your rating of this movie?
I give this movie, I had a funny bit. I don't know. I fucking give this movie like a 1 out of 10. It is a movie I'm going to probably force other people to watch as a form of torture. And I am going to be delightfully inebriated for that.
B, you're going to get canceled for doing that. They're going to be like, this little thing pissed on somebody and that's not okay with me.
Well, then I'll show it to more freaks.
Then you're going to get canceled. You're going to get canceled. This is a movie for All right, Jess, what did you rate this movie?
Okay, this movie is 4 glowing power stones that are holding up the hologram chamber at a 4. If you're watching it with friends, if you want to interrogate a movie from a outside culture perspective, if you are watching this alone, it is having your face melted by a starfish out of 1.
And I have nothing funny to say about this movie. It is 0 out of 5 stars. Do not watch this, even with friends. There is nothing to be gained out of enjoyment. There is no enjoyment to be gained out of this movie. Watch anything else. Anyway.
It doesn't even matter.
I'm sick, and I need my own Mothra juice. Right? I'll be right back.
It doesn't even meet a single convention on our list of conventions. Like, I made specific note of the fact that it actively avoids a convention. You know, it's just bad. We didn't even get into the like actual potential moral message of the film being, hey children, if a scary man corners you and starts to assault you, and then he says he's sorry, accept that apology and it's all okay.
There is no message in this movie except that you should drink as early and often as possible to forget. Alcohol is the only medicine for the soul after the sickness of Rebirth of Mothra 2.
Thankfully, Rebirth of Mothra 2 sends the message, there's still time, estrogen or HRT can save you.
Rebirth 3.
Yes. Sure, why not?
Rebirth 3 says
who cares?
That. Yes. Rebirth 2, the Mothra 3 is, I don't fucking
know. A better movie, and the only real movie out of the Mothra trilogy.
Some fucking how.
This I will agree with.
My first notes
it
are...
It starts off...
My first notes are, this is a real movie?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, that was my first note as well. It starts off with, like, an actual sort of, like, mysterious setup. And, of course, there's another thing that the Elias have to gather to get magical artifacts. Because, you know,
they have...
there's always some fucking bullshit magical artifact in this movie. And Belvira steals it. They have swords now. For some fucking reason.
Yeah, they really do.
Ineffective swords in all accounts.
They're tiny.
And ultimately they have nothing to do with like the problem of the movie, which is King Ghidorah. He's back. 130 million years ago, he wiped out the dinosaurs, which that was torture how often they brought that up for me. Personally, as a dinosaur aficionado, they got it wrong. And I will be deliciously nitpicky about this later in the discussion of this film to drag it out for time.
We know.
Yeah, King Ghidorah, he's back. He's in space and he lands in Aoki Forest. And then he starts kidnapping children and he puts them in a placenta. And they're really scared. The kids are all scared. He steals thousands of children, by the way. It's not just like
it's horrifying.
Listen, I gotta get this out the way. He's in the files. Ghidorah's in the files. Yep. And
it turns out Infant Islands.
And then they wait, you know, they take too long to call Mothra, and Mothra shows up. Mothra gets his ass rolled. And then and Laura got hypnotized. So, you know, hypno-fetishist, this is your movie.
Honestly.
So it's just Maul. It's just Maul left to sing a song so that Mothra can fly back in time, and that turns her into glass. And then Mothra goes back to dinosaur times, where we see dinosaurs of all shapes and sizes that do not belong in that time period. And Mothra then fights baby Ghidorah, drops in a volcano, Ghidorah disappears, but then comes back, and then Mothra hatches from a cocoon and is Armor Mothra and then blows up King Ghidorah forever. And then that's the end of the movie. So
we're done. Let's go. I'm B. You can find me on Twitter.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's pretty much all there is. Like, that's... God.
There's something, but also, like... Jess and I had a bit when you were watching it, but it's a little bit of a stretch, but also, who cares? It's at least something to talk about.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so this, I will say this. Rebirth of Mothra 3 does have things to talk about that I do find are interesting, and especially from an outsider perspective. And somebody who's like more used to watching broad cinema as opposed to watching kaiju movies. No offense. First of all, this is a movie that is 15% screaming children by volume, which is a bold thing to do, but I argue kind of doesn't really know what to do with it beyond just making a lot of... This is a movie that has a lot of ideas, but no, like, particular commitments. It's a watchable movie. It is fundamentally a movie to begin with, but it keeps throwing stuff at the wall without it particularly sticking or really having a lot of weight or nuance outside of the fight scenes. Because, like I said, I have never seen any real other kaiju movies besides these ones. So my frame of reference for whether or not a kaiju fight is good is pretty skewed. But I have the distinct memory of watching Rebirth of Mothra 1 and them being like, oh my god, Mothra's about to die. I'm like, is she? But in Rebirth of Mothra 2, 3, you do get to see a whole bunch of, like, really savage fighting, considering the,
Yeah, they at least tear Mothra's wings up.
Yeah.
They at least fuck him up a little bit. That's something.
Actually, Mothra transitioned in between films, and they're back to using she, her pronouns for Mothra.
No, they've only been using she in the movie, but it's like, it's whatever. It's again, it's just funnier to say that Mothra Leo's the fat chud son that nobody likes.
Well, Mothra Leo transitioned. Sorry.
Yeah.
That may actually be about being a closeted trans woman.
Yes, and we're not entirely off base with this, considering that the protagonist, the ostensible protagonist,
the featured child in this one is
Shota. Sad 13-year-old.
Is Shota? Yes. He's 13. He doesn't like to leave his house. He's afraid to go to school. He doesn't really have any friends. Everyone calls him different and weird, and you know, he's doesn't like to, you know, doesn't like to change things because he's kind of scared, and he's, you know, really, really nervous, and has his little safe spaces that he cares about. And when he meets the little fairies, he's finally finds something to be like active with, or finally finds something to do in his life when he can be a part of the fairies.
Yep.
Yeah.
And the fairies start trusting him, and they start imbuing him with power in order to help Mothra. He's able to communicate with Mothra.
Yeah, he can understand Mothra, and Mothra can understand him. And there's a, you know, connection. And at the end, you know, he saves everyone, and, like, the parents, you know, they are still weird to him, regardless of everything.
God, yeah. I fucking hate...
Listen, I'm going to say, those parents are very understanding of that kid. Like, he's not going to school.
Yeah...
Yeah, I
they're very kind to that boy.
Yeah, I
they are very patient with him. Those are not bad
parents. They're good parents. They're actual characters. That was the most baffling thing. This entire movie, I was, like, constantly baffled. There's actually, like, movie things happening. There are characters. There are, like, there's action. There's stakes. There's tension. There's, like, editing. There's cinematography. It's not good, but it exists.
Like, there's some actual, like, they actually, in this movie, they did get me when that first scene when Ghidorah steals kids and it just shows that empty classroom.
Yeah.
It's just like, that's all the best stuff in the movie is when he's stealing the damn kids. Yeah, that was scary and horrifying. Unsettling. It's like, oh, this is what was missing from, now the thing that's weird is, like, why does King Ghidorah just steal the children? Did he do that with the dinosaur children back in the day? Maybe. Maybe he was just, like, you know, he shows up to the fucking Hidden Valley, steals Littlefoot, and all of them they didn't get out. Like,
oh.
Like, that. It's, like, this is the, this one is the most Gamera movie of all time, because it, incidentally, the enemy monster just wants to, like, eat, like, we don't know what Ghidorah, maybe he wants to eat them, because that looks like what he was going to do before he faded out of existence.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not but true. We have seen Ghidorah's plan throughout the entire movie, and I will lay it out for you. One,
okay.
He puts them in a bubble. Two,
placenta.
Whatever. Two, he makes the bubble cold. Three, he makes the bubble full of blue. Four, ? And then five, children screaming again. That's his plan.
Yeah.
So again, just incidentally wants to steal really, he wants to unbirth the children. Mothra is rebirth. Ghidorah is unbirth. That's the message of the movie, is that you shouldn't put the children back inside. They're already born.
Yes.
You have to let the children... This is an anti-abortion movie. This is... Ghidorah is the three-headed abortion doctor from hell. And Mothra is pro-life.
Yeah, Mothra shows warrior. Up with her famous Choose Life t-shirt.
Claims to be pro-life. Gets killed in the Cretaceous period instead.
Well, she doesn't get killed in the
Cretaceous. No, but Ghidorah does. Ghidorah gets thrown
into a fucking bucket. Ghidorah's anti-life.
Well, fucking...
Because Ghidorah's the abortion doctor.
Whatever, let me make my joke. Let me do my bit.
It doesn't make any
sense. Fuck you. Neither does this movie.
Yes. None of these movies have made any fucking sense at all, whatsoever.
They fucking looper Ghidorah.
I hate life and myself. And I will say this. The fact that we are doing this episode means that we have been fired in a new crucible. We are born anew after this episode. Nothing can stop our momentum at this point.
Oh, no way. We can handle anything. We can handle fucking supernova like champs.
What's the worst thing we have coming up?
Supernova. And also
that super Legacy supernova is going to be like Melancholia. That's going to be like watching Melancholia. We're going to feel like highbrow culture setters watching Supernova. Like, you know, like this is a perspective shifter episode. This is, you know, listen, I've been hating on Space Godzilla. I've been hating on the rest of the Hi-Sci, the Versus series for years. The
Hi-Sci. And you know what? Sure.
What? Is that not how you say it? I never hear anybody fucking...
It's Heisei. Okay, thank you. Prude. You fucking American.
Prude? You're the one that's set off by things peeing on
people. Oh, so you like go-go pissing on you?
No, it just doesn't bother me.
So you...
I'd let him piss on me to fix my knee.
So you like go-go piss?
Yeah, I heard it here first, everybody. What about it? What are you going to do about it?
Baz that movie really loves piss water fish. Sports. It's a bad name.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with it. Hey, it's... You know what? It's sterile.
How do you know? He has nuts. You don't know what is between those. It could be a Tanuki situation. He uses fucking go-go nuts to, like, parachute around.
It's piss. It's piss. What is it? What are you talking about? It's in the body. It comes out of the body.
He is stored in the balls, Baz. Mm-hmm. You know this. You know this.
Inside, yes. Not on the outside. Do you not know anatomy? You not know how this stuff works?
I know pee is stored in the balls. It's okay. And I know Gogo has the weird fucking... his little tendril, and I hate it. We didn't talk about the tendril. I have to talk about the tendril. The tendril's really bad. No, you don't.
We're not talking about the tendril. Anyway, so back to Mothra 3.
Okay.
Back to Rebirth of Mothra 3, yes. Which has no little Furby thing.
Thank God.
And has no strange, you know, fortunately, no weird, awkward translation stuff that means that we're going to have to watch a British kaiju movie from the 60s now. And, but it does have, it is, you know, we didn't talk about it. It's weird that King Ghidorah is in this movie.
It's really weird. Why is he here? Yeah, he is. Why is he here?
That's not Mothra's, like, I mean, granted, Mothra doesn't have, like, I mean, really, the thing that's weird is why does none of these movies have Batra?
Why is Batra not here?
Where is the evil Mothra in these movies?
Watching these movies is like reading Wonder Woman comics and realizing, like, oh, you keep putting her up against Lex Luthor for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's Dr. Psycho? Do you not care enough to, like, give her her own stuff? I mean, I guess they did, but it's also they didn't, because Dez Ghidorah, like, Dagara is the only, like, truly original monster in these movies, because Dez Ghidorah is just downwind of Ghidorah, and then they got King Ghidorah, and it's like, well, why not just throw Godzilla into one of these at that point, huh?
Why?
Legally, they can't, I believe. Yeah. But that's the only reason. They wouldn't have even made these movies if they hadn't done that deal with, like, we're not going to make any until the mid-2000s. And then, you know, we talked about how that went. But, like, there's nothing, like, we talked, like, it was the last episode where it would have been interesting if, like, some guy got fucked up from Mothra and wanted to kill it.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Like,
give it, like, an interesting plot rather than, hey, there's a monster and Mothra needs to fix it. Like,
yeah, like, this is, like, ultimately, the Mothra trilogy, that is, it is, like, these are bad autism movies. These are movies that give you bad autism, like, because they're like the babiest of baby. These are babier than like the Thomas the Tank Engine movie. Like that one was at least kind of scary. If you're like five.
That one's got Peter Fonda in it.
Yeah, it's got Peter fucking Fonda, and it's got that fucked up like coal truck or whatever with like the snappy
stuff. Yeah, yeah. Let's go.
But like
this is
outside of that, there's nothing that's like really scary in these movies. And like there's nothing in there like really is in there to evoke any sort of emotion. Like having King Ghidorah in the third film, but then like they like hint at like the Ghidorah theme music, but they don't do it.
He doesn't even E-B-B-B-B.
And it's like, well, yeah, I know. There's no, well, that's the 90s, and Bitty 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 is like, that's not like cool and tough enough for the, you know, the.
Fuck them.
It's refurbished Rodan roars for us. And, well, we got to hear the elephant roars again. That was nice. That's a thematic through line to Des Ghidorah from the first film.
Would you like to hear my biggest complaint about this movie?
Yes.
Please hit me with
it. Because it is completely and totally in line with your criticisms of it so far. So, specifically, my complaint is, they had a shot for a better ending and actively walked away from it for the Toho ending.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You were telling me about this.
I legitimately thought Rebirth of Mothra 3 was going to end with Mothra having heroic sacrifice, knowing that this was the end of the trilogy, and taking herself out and King Ghidorah out in the past in the process, causing some time bullshit that everybody has to live with. But it would have ended with one of the Elias, you know, in a coma. It would have ended with one of the... having to deal with the fact that she got brainwashed and did all that. Belvira actually stepping up to the plate and becoming more of a sister to the other sisters. Like, there could have been a shot for, like, a redemption there. And then it turns out, no, actually, Ghidorah's tail allowed him to grow back. And then there were the baby Mothras in the past. Even though the big drum that they keep beating over and over and over and over through the trilogy is, this is the last Mothra. This is the last Mothra. Yes, Mothra can reproduce parthenogenically, but Leo has not yet had the opportunity in order to reproduce and set up there being a future Mothra. It would have been legitimately interesting if it kind of ended on like the bittersweet notes. And I'm actively
kind of... But it can't, because this is a movie for babies. It can't end that interestingly. It's so sad.
Yeah. I wouldn't say it's for babies. I would say it's for children, but not babies.
This movie is
aimed, I have seen a movie for babies.
This is aimed at the oldest audience, I think, out of all three of them. Mm-hmm.
So 6 years old.
Shota is like 13, right? Like I would say the
upper... Yeah, but that's not the audience for this is not 13. That is the year
upper
old.
No, limit.
It's more like 8 year olds.
Yeah, 13 is absolute is the upper limit of you can watch this and be entertained and not be insulted.
I'll say this. With these movies is they did give me a brain blast to the past of my Godzilla forum days
when I was
single digit age, like 9 years old, and seeing about like this stuff with Aqua Mothra, Armor Mothra, Hyperflight Mothra, having no knowledge really of what any of these movies are, and I just see that, I'm like, I'm 9 years old, I'm like, that's a bunch of fucking bullshit. What the fuck is all this? Who the fuck is Rainbow Mothra? Mothra, who are all these fucking Mothras? Where'd they come from? Like, just
toy options.
Because, like, the thing, yeah, that really, that's the reason these movies exist, is to sell toys to the 6 year olds. That's why Mothra can't die, because they need to have the eternal Mothra toy at the very end. Also, that reminds me, I need to see if Mothra got any new powers, and I forgot to do. I'll do it for Mothra 2, just out of consistency's sake. But we gotta see what new powers Mothra got.
Well, and two, Mothra got the Silverhawks mode.
Yeah, she gets a lot of fucking powers in this one.
In three, it's like a tripartite beam or something like that.
Yeah, hold on. I made a note. We get the VTOL foil variant.
Oh yeah. Oh god, okay. That's right.
Silver armor Mothra.
I'm sorry, she's so ugly in that armor.
It looks really bad.
All right, so, it is such a downgrade from Rainbow Mothra. So Rainbow Mothra's powers: flight, Cross Heat Laser Rainbow, Mineral Chest Cannon, Excel Shining Field Rainbow, Pressure Field, Arrow Buster, Sparkling Pyload Rainbow, and then Transformation, because Rainbow Mothra can transform into Aquamothra. Aquamothra's powers. Adept Swimmer, Flight, Cross Heat Laser Aqua, X Thunder Beam, Crescent Dash Beam, Pressure Field, Space Miracle Force, Illusion Mirage Aqua, and Transformation. Aquamothra is capable of transforming into either Rainbow Mothra or Lightspeed Mothra. We didn't really, and there's not really any, fine, I'm just mentioning this posterity's sake. We are not discussing this at all. Aquamothra can split into a million little Mothras, and they do a Death Star attack run on Dagar that ends up defeating it. Now, anyways, then there's Lightspeed Mothra. Flight, Time Travel, Transformation. Lightspeed Mothra is capable of transforming into Rainbow Mothra. Armor Mothra, which we see in the third film. Flight, Durability, that's power. Armor Wing Cutter, Armor Cross Heat Laser, Excel Dash Buster, Transformation. Armor Mothra is capable of transforming into Eternal Mothra. Eternal Mothra. Eternal Mothra's powers are Flight, Sylphonic Power, and that's it.
With the aid of the Elias Triangle, Eternal Mothra was able to restore life to Maul. Yeah, yeah, English. That's a comprehensible sentence. You can say that to anyone and they'll understand what you mean.
The fucking Elias. Fake industry plant ass. Listen, I'll dead name it. It's the Shobujin.
They should have been the Shobujin. Like, they are the most interesting part of any of these movies, and they're barely in the second one, and they're, like, worthless in the third. Like,
I thought they were one of the most boring parts of these movies.
They're the most unique part of them. Because it's like, okay, we got, like, little ladies. Let's see what they do. Are they going to do anything?
They do 10-minute dogfights.
Yeah, they do 45-minute dogfights in a house. Once.
They do so much dog... The movie opens on a fucking little dogfight. Oh, we never have to see one of these ever again.
And then they have little Fairy, and Fairy gets no play after the first movie. I like Fairy.
That's fine. Who gives a shit about
Fairy? I like Fairy. Fairy's cute.
You don't give a fuck about Fairy.
I like Fairy. I was excited to see Fairy. Jess can confirm. I was excited to see Fairy in all of these.
I was also genuinely excited to see Fairy. I have a question. What's the name of Belvira's little buddy?
Garu
Garu. Garu Garu.
Shoutouts for the single cohesive theme the entire trilogy being Garu Garu being repeatedly fucked up and made more steampunk and cybernetic.
I would much rather have watched the Garu Garu movie.
I would fucking eat up a Garu Garu movie. I loved him.
Like, there's so much character and charm in that animatronic, and like the...
I love it.
I know. If they hadn't given her just like a complete asshole face turn in the third movie, he should have killed her. like it's one of those things, like, after two, like, it's so, like, because it's barely even, like, the whole, like, King Ghidorah is going to destroy Earth. We have to just stop him. Ah! Like, it's so, like, you didn't earn that shit. Like, she's never learned any fucking lesson from any of these movies. Like, there's just the message of, like, you know, she's family. What are you going to do?
Like, yeah, these movies are incredibly neoliberal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like,
not even sarcastically. They were made in the 90s in a particular context.
The first two are neoliberal environmentalist movies. Like, again, they are worse than Fern Gully at it.
Yeah, then they barely even try. Like, the first one kind of tries to have an environmentalist message. The second one throws one in at the last fucking minute to say, hey, we have a message. And the third one doesn't even say anything. This movie is about
completely
nothing.
Abandon the environmentalist message.
Who cares? Anything. It's about nothing.
And it's the best one. It's the best one.
Some fucking by how. Far.
It's You know, and I do want to plug one thing, because, or not plug, but because neither of you have watched, like, much Mothra at all, right?
No, not particularly.
No.
Yeah.
Not, like, outside of
because, like, because there's a huge element missing from these movies, and, like, it's one of those, like, because we see it at the top of the third film, where they, like, there's that mention of Infant Island.
Yeah.
Like, that pop up on screen. Like, Infant Island, the natives of Infant Island are, like, that's, like, a core thing of Mothra. Like, and that's completely missing from here. Like, because, like, in the Showa era, like, Mothra is not, like, this, Mothra Leo is just, like, your bog standard, like, superhero monster. Just, like, yeah, come save the day, no real personality or anything like that. But old classic Mothra is like a true blue nature goddess in all of its majesty and cruelty. Like, she's not, she does what she wants. You have to, like, beg her for help. You have to, like, show her your neck.
Yeah.
That you are, like, willing to give up something of yourself for her to come to your aid, because why the fuck should she help you? You are ruining her shit. Why would she help you survive so that you can ruin her shit more? It is, but here it's just like there's the only thing that there that's left of that is the Elias and their crappy New Age world music, and it's such a flattening of Mothra and the Shobajin and the natives of Infant Island, and like it just makes everything so much less interesting. There's less texture. There's nothing to sit with in these movies. There's nothing that's like you kind of like that makes you sit at the end like, damn, something's got to change, or anything like that. Like there, like you see it. The best thing I can highlight is in the original Mothra movie, they go to Infant Island, and it's, you know, it's your bog standard movie island, very tropical, lush palm trees, you hear the kookaburras, all that good stuff. But then when they go to the island in Mothra versus Godzilla, the island has been destroyed except for Mothra's cave sanctuary. Everything else is in ruins and dead, except for this last spot where Mothra is barely keeping everything alive. And you see the natives dancing, worshiping, like, as, like, desperate to keep her alive and support her so that they can remain alive on this ruined island that they once called home. And there's nothing like that in these movies. They're just problems that instantly resolve, or not instantly, but they resolve within, like, 10 minutes of being introduced.
It's...
Like it misses so much of what's interesting.
It just doesn't care.
And like why Mothra's number two most popular monster of this franchise, because she has good fucking movies.
These movies just don't care. Not these ones. They just don't care. No. They are cash grabs.
They're anthology children movies where Mothra is also there. It's like, as much as I like Mad Max Fury Road, it is like the thesis that there's a bunch of stories that are being told out in the wasteland, and it's actually about different people, and then Max shows up in them. It's sort of like that, except with Mothra is here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And at least those Mad Max movies got some, like, I'm blanking on the director's name. What's the director's name? He's an auteur type. Like, he has a specific vision and, like, a sort of... And he's got, like, some good vulgarity. Like, he's got a vision for what he wants his movies to look like. These are versus the sort of focus-grouped style of the Mothra trilogy. Like...
Yeah.
They're just trying to hit their marks. And I guess they technically hit them not good, but, like...
I don't know if
they
use the term.
Because they hit the same beats every single movie. Mm. So... That's why the third one's the best, is because they finally nailed it after two practice rounds.
I would call it more ghost written. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the author doesn't care, just like, I'll pay some poor schlub to write it for me, but I'm going to take credit.
It's just like,
I am a strong believer that every film is, like, everything a creator puts into a film or a work is always saying something, no matter what. Even if they don't intend it, it's always going to say something, because you can't make something without intent. I don't think Rebirth of Mothra has any intent, at least in the third one. There's no intention of saying anything here, except... Yes. Like, if there is, I can't fucking find it.
And that's part of what makes it so frustrating.
You know the phrase, the exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, I fucking guess, but...
And we found it. We found the exception.
I hate...
It's Rebirth of Mothra.
I hate that Rebirth of Mothra 3, in that sense, is worse than 2, because at least 2 has a message, even if it's a garbage one. It's saying something. There's clearly something being discussed in that movie. 3, what is being discussed is, I think, here's how we can get another couple things of Mothra for new forms that we can sell. That is, I think, the only thing that this third movie is even trying to say.
It has a lot of rough edges that are compelling, but ultimately sanded off before they can hook in.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. It is
a perfectly cromulent Mothra film, derogatory.
it's cromulent for sure. It exists.
So I do want to revisit something I sent, I believe, before we recorded our last episode. Which is one of my favorite, because you have to remember, there are fans of these movies, which is, Rebirth of Mothra deserves more love. All three movies are some of the best Godzilla and Friends movies. All three were better than basically all of Showa, parts of Millennium, all the series, and on par with the 90s movies to me, and the undisputed best non-Godzilla movies, IMO. There are real people out that love these movies. Actual thinking human beings, adults who can maybe vote, or they have jobs, probably maybe married even. Imagine being married to somebody that loves these movies.
Imagine.
Could you?
Imagine.
It's instant divorce. It's like, oh, you're actually not a person.
Why couldn't you be into Funko Pops and
stuff? Yeah, no, seriously, it's a better use of your time. It's a better use of your time. Anything is a better, this is, again, this is the most embarrassed I've ever felt like watching a movie. What would be worse than this? Anybody have any ideas what would be worse than this?
I can tell you what one of my worst experiences is, showing somebody something I was a fan of, and then it...
Oh, yeah, please, lay it on me. How I feel right now.
Have you ever watched Bob's Burgers?
Yes.
Do you remember the pilot for Bob's Burgers?
Not specifically.
The one where the restaurant gets shut down for cannibalism.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, the OG pilot. I've seen that. Yes, that shit's so good.
I strongly disagree. Compared to the rest, okay, Bob's Burgers got a vibe to it. It's got a groove to it, especially after it starts hitting it after the first few episodes in the first season. Years ago, when I was hanging out with a bunch of friends, I was like, "It's a really good show. I really like it, and I think you all might like it too." So we started with the pilot episode of Bob's Burgers, and let me tell you, I have never wanted to die more than any other moment, because it has a very particular sort of delivery, and it has not yet found its legs. So when it starts making jokes about child molestation, I'm like, I'm in hell. I need to leave. My friends are going to hate me forever.
Oh, no.
Because it doesn't have the sauce yet. It doesn't have the cohesion yet. So I completely understand how you would feel in this instance. But for what it's worth, as somebody who's not a huge Toho head or a huge kaiju fan, the experience of watching Rebirth of Mothra, and I'm going to give this the most graciousness and kindness that I ever possibly can for a series like this, because I know that you have a tattoo of Mothra. So I'm going to say this, and this is going to be from the heart and serious and sincere. This has shown me, one, that there's actually a lot more going on under the hood than I expected for kaiju movies and tall films. And two, this experience has not scared me off watching another one.
Oh, thank God.
Yippee.
Oh.
Yippee.
Yeah, like, you are a strong-willed and committed person. I admire that. I don't know if I could say the same for myself if I was coming in as an adult having never really watched any sort of monster movie. If this is what, like, I mean, granted, I don't think B went in telling you, like, hey, this is, like, the best that the genre has to offer.
Oh, no,
B, how did you sell this on to Jess to watch?
Do you want to watch Mothra?
Yeah, I think it was literally just, hey, anyone want to watch Mothra with me? Let me see, I can find...
No, there was no fanfare, there was no pretense, there was only the cultural knowledge and expectations I had about Mothra that I brought with me. I didn't come into this prepared beyond any of my pop culture predispositions. So all things considered, I enjoyed watching this trilogy, even if the movies were not good, but I enjoyed the experience, and I do not regret watching these movies.
It was a good time to watch these movies, like watching them with a group and all of us being insane about it. It was fun. It was good.
So happy for you.
But I can also recognize that this would be, and I say this as somebody who has tried revisiting some pop culture stuff in my life that I had like relatively fond memories for. I can recognize that to you, this feels like a kick in the dick for an hour and 40 minutes, three times.
Yeah.
Because the other thing, too, is, like, B hadn't seen these.
Nope.
And I first, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, the three movies that came out on Blu-ray, I think in, like, 2017, 2018. And at the time, I'm like, you know, I was building up my collection. I'm like, you know, I want to have all my hands on all the monster movies that I can get my hands on. Mm. And so I picked them up. And, like, I the last time I watched these was like 8 years ago. And so this entire time I was like, it's like that, you know, that foggy memory of like you want a movie you didn't really, it didn't really leave an impact on you at all. And so it's like, I guess it like, you know, it's like the word you think like, I guess the worst it could be is like nothing. But like looking back on it now, that was a time where I was smoking a ton of weed. Like, a lot. And I think, like, because watching the second one, even as I was like, because, and I watched it, I watched these movies sober broadly because I want to be able to take away and, you know, I want to be thinking on my feet. I was still falling asleep. Like, this was not like post dinner or anything like that. Yeah. But there was a ton of stuff in the second one. Like, I don't remember this at all. Like, I'll be honest, I think I missed most of Go-Go. I did not remember Go-Go at all. Like, I think I might have gotten woken up a couple of times with some Dagara explosions, and then when the mini Mothras were doing a Death Star trench run in his heart. But that was it. Like, yeah, so it's like, it's to come, it's like getting like shocked awake, like watching it and being like, oh, like it was crazy.
I think we need to get you high and rewatch these.
No, I'm considering doing the classic Red Letter Media. I want to take video of me snapping the discs and throwing them in the fucking trash.
You know what? Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Do it.
I will also say, considering that you were the control group, that you were watching this sober, I was happy to act as the variable. Because through all three of these movies, I was high.
I was high good. For the second two.
I'm glad that, like, listen, am I deeply upset that I suffered the most? Yes. Am I glad that both of you did not have to suffer? Yes. I'm sort of Jesus in a way, if you think about it. I took all the anger and hate and I put them in me. I absorbed them.
No. We still felt plenty of anger and hatred. We were actively shouting at the screen watching Rebirth 2.
Yeah. No, it was not a quiet watch.
Well, of course, mine was. I was doing the Kubrick stare at the TV.
I can just fucking picture this spot on.
Like this, these movies are drive you to drink. Like they are.
Yeah, why do you think we did what we did?
I don't know, because you want me to suffer. You want me to suffer? You're like, hey, let's all play a prank on Baz. Let's have a rootin' tootin'. And shooting good time, shoot. But that's fine. I'm gonna be merciless next episode. I'm getting my licks in. I'm getting my lick back. You don't know. Your goat. Your goat's done for. Your goat's cooked.
What do you mean, my goat? Why do you?
I mean your goat. You know who I mean when I'm talking about your goat.
Are you gonna insult my child? Are you gonna insult my boy?
Yeah, I am.
My little fucking boy.
Oh, yeah.
I can't believe you would insult Bee's boy after they put him in the orb, and then they made him cold, and then they made it blue, and the children were screaming, and then, I don't know.
Oh, no, this is a different boy.
This is, listen, Jess, this is long-standing Bee.
This is
long-standing eternal beef. I think since the first episode.
This is pre-podcast beef.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It is. Ooh. This is, honestly, this is kind of like core to our relationship, almost.
Yeah. However, I have not seen Godzilla vs. Destroya, at least not
you
in full.
You are fucking kidding me.
I have not seen this movie in full, at least in 20 years.
Have you seen, like, the ending?
I know how the fucking movie ends, yeah.
Okay,
I just haven't sat down and watched the entire movie start to finish since I was at least 5 years old, and I don't even know about that.
Wow, that's so funny. That is,
So, we'll see. Maybe I will also hate this movie. But I do fucking know that little Godzilla is cute as shit.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's real cute.
And I don't care.
Nothing bad happens to him.
I know, I've seen fucking Space Godzilla. I know what happens to him.
I'm not talking about Space Godzilla.
I know.
He's got a worse fate than Space Epstein coming and taking his
head. God fucking damn it. You cut me off from a joke earlier. I was going to say fucking the Infant Island is actually in an archipelago. There's a couple islands over there. They just don't show the other one, you know?
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
Oh.
All right, so now we get a rate. Mothra 3. No convention still. Because we don't want to drag this out more than we need to.
I give this movie a 3.
Yeah.
Out of what? You fucking decide.
Yeah, it's 3.
I listened to another podcast called System Mastery. I don't know how familiar you're with it, but they have a movie rating scale where they do a 5 star thing, and like a 2 is like, this is ontologically a movie. This is a 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This exists
this is
as
ontologically
a
movie.
It exists as a film.
It cannot be argued that it is the most movie out of the 3.
It's not offensive, but it's not interesting, and it's not really doing anything exciting except for when it almost does.
It has, if you handed this movie to a freak nowadays and was like, we're going to remake this, here's this movie that you should remake, you'd get something fucking cool. You'd get something interesting. But
get a dead body.
Yeah.
I'd kill them. We cannot let anything like that ever see the light of fucking day. It is our duty.
I would love this one to be remade, but only by a transgender.
Yes.
Sure, whatever.
Why not just get like another podcast?
why don't we should listen. Honestly, the thing is I do feel at this point And my rating of this movie is like 1 out of 5. I don't care. Just all these movies are skipped. These are the first movies we watched where there's no YouTube clips. This is a do not watch.
This is a skip these films. Ignore
this. This is a skip these films. These are cognito hazards. You will get ill.
These movies.
You will be sick.
We need to bring these movies to the foundation to be secured.
Yeah. Contained and protected from. But the thing is like, on top of that, is like, these movies were such dog shit. I don't even know how this third one did financially. I think, what was it? I don't know. It's like, it distributed rentals is what it says on Wikizilla. I don't know what the fuck that means, but it only made $850 million in distributor rentals. That's less than the first one. I imagine this movie probably crashed and burned.
I'm shocked any of them made money.
Oh, listen, the first one, you get a pass because, like, you know, people like Mothra. But,
the first movie's a proof of concept. The first movie's a tech demo.
Yeah, pretty, yeah. Yeah. It has
the best effects.
Yeah. I think it probably had the highest budget out of all of them, too. Or at least, like, because the third movie had budgets spread out between, like, 5 puppets, a billion little dinosaur animatronic puppets, 2 King Ghidorahs, 5 Mothras.
They
spread their money out.
They really did not put a lot of money into those dinosaurs. Those are some of the worst.
Honestly, I thought the dinosaurs looked incredible.
In 3?
The dinosaurs were the best part of the film. Oh, yeah. The
dinosaur pervert? Yeah.
What's wrong with them?
Okay. I earlier took umbrage with you saying a variety of dinosaurs watch Mothra and Ghidorah fight in the past. If by a variety of dinosaurs you mean a Triceratops and a T-Rex, then yes.
There's a Brachiosaurus.
Is there?
And a Brachiosaurus.
Yeah, but I saw it. No, and it's the only dinosaur in there that's supposed to be there. Not really, because it's in Japan.
But also, it was very clearly either, like, really shitty hand puppets or action figures being mashed together.
It's so goofy looking. It's so bad.
Did either, I forget the name of the movies, but didn't either of y'all see, like, the, no, you probably didn't, but there's, like, a couple of kids movies where it's, like, tiny dinosaurs get found, and it's, like, their little stop motion things, and they look really crappy. But no, these dinosaurs were, like, fine. You know, they look like they're supposed to. And, like, you know,
they're the cheapest effects in the film, and the film has a lot of cheap effects.
Nah, I don't know. Mothra's kind of fucking. Armor Mothra looks cheap as shit.
Yes.
It doesn't look.
These dinosaurs still look cheaper. These dinosaurs still look cheaper. They're barely moving.
I don't know. I think I'm right.
They did not offend me. I was like, oh, look at that. They're using action figures.
It's silly, like, yeah. It's just, yes. It's bad. It's silly, though.
Y'all weren't watching it on the Blu-ray, though. So, you know, I don't know if you can really say.
Well,
I watched it on the Blu-ray.
I didn't want to give these movies money.
I also think
I gave these movies money 8 years ago because I didn't know how bad they were.
I think a higher quality might make all these movies look worse.
It might, but the thing is on the poster for the Wikizilla, they have a bunch of dinosaurs that don't appear in the movie.
They have a shitload of dinosaurs, which makes it look like this. We got
your Pteranodon, your T Rex. I love when movies do that, when they have like a bunch of shit on the poster that's just not in the film.
they just lie.
Yeah, all these movies lie.
I mean, fuck, Rebirth 2's
poster. We're done, right?
Rebirth 2's poster almost makes it look like fucking Biollante is coming back.
Now that, fuck, I know I was just asking if we were done, but that's a good versus movie right there. That's some shit you can kind of chew
that's
on.
That's something that just that's on, got like, the substance. Idea. It's got substance in it. You know, give the nature monster a nature monster to fight. Ooh, who's gonna win? Do a theme.
You decide.
You can have a theme of, like, man-made nature versus the natural one versus blah blah blah. Ooh, maybe the lake prince, the fairy princesses can talk to the girl's spirit within Biollante. I don't know. Maybe you could do something.
There's plenty of options.
Maybe you could.
But that does remind me of the original point I was going to try and make with, like, how bad these movies are. Which is really that, honestly, do not remake these movies. Just leave these in the dustbin of history. But, like, it should not. I don't know. I wouldn't mind if there was like a new Mothra movie.
Yeah.
That was good.
Yeah.
Like, there's something with this, like, especially now when we're, like, fully in the grip of climate change. And, like there's, like a Mothra. I don't know. There's something there for, like we're in the time that's proper for a Mothra movie, I feel.
I agree.
But we won't get one. And, or maybe she'll show up in minus zero. She'll show up in minus zero as the enemy monster. And, she'll come from China and it'll be like China forgiving Japan for, or China thanking Japan or something like that.
Jesus.
In minus zero. Yeah. But anyway. So we're done now, right?
The Moth of Nanking.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Yeah. Good night. All right. So yeah, we're done. We're done.
Yeah, I think we're done. I think final.
We did our due diligence.
Final thoughts. I think I have earned more enjoyment from drinking this Mothra branded PBR in the last half hour than I did from watching all three of these films combined.
Mm-hmm. Well, we always have a good time on the show.
Oh yeah.
My final takeaway is, if I wanted to host a movie night watching all three Mothra movies, it would probably be a pretty good time with a bunch of friends, if only because of the arc that these three movies take. Mm-hmm. In the sense that you got the really disappointing beginning one, this middle one is just absolutely bananas, and then the third one is like an actually watchable film by the time you're all just tired and chilling and like people are sneaking off to make out and shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a banger party.
Ultimately, my final thoughts on this movie is, like, these movies made me feel, and I did this, you know, honestly, this is just drinking, these movies are drinking alone in a dark room, staring at the wall, just not really thinking about anything. Just, your life has been worn away, and also you're sick, you're just in a bad mood, and you're just gonna explode at any moment. You're just, it's all over for you. These are end of life movies. They play these in hospice to finally kill people that they don't like anymore. That's my final thoughts on the Mothra trilogy. So we're going to end things for real this time. Jess, do you want to be found? And if so, where can people find you?
My name is Jess. I have a podcast called The Coffin Club. It is a tabletop actual play podcast you can find at thecoffin.club, where we like to play a lot of things that are off the beaten path, a lot of indie RPGs with kind of minimal editing and a focus on, honestly, I'm a focus on storytelling and just like trying out new experiences. You can find all of my social media information through thecoffin.club. And if you like what we're doing, we actually have a Patreon. It is patreon.com/the_coffin_club, where you can get access to our monthly show, which is a fantasy themed improv show. And it is not Dungeons and Dragons associated in any sort of way. So it's
thank actually, fucking God.
So it's actual quality and it's actually interesting.
Yippee!
I'm always down for some anti-dungeon D&D action.
This is an anti-D&D podcast space. If you like 5th edition, kill yourself.
Yeah, yeah. We're the growing pile of people that need to kill themselves, as stated by Mechapodzilla.
Right. I would say fix your heart or die, but fair enough.
You know the problems I have, Jess. It's okay.
I know.
I just don't like how woke it is.
Good night, everybody.
That I land.
Let's thank you for Jess for giving that a very good wide berth of audio on either side, so that we can have that clip of Baz just saying, "I don't like how woke it is," and I can just use that now. I can just use that wherever I want.
Yeah, perfect. And speaking of using it however you want, where can people find you, B?
You can find me, actually, did you know Did you guys... I mean, Baz, you know this, but Jess, did you know... Baz also has an island. It's spelled differently, but you can find me on Bass Island. Just waiting for the next movie. I don't know. This joke's bad. This is a bad joke.
What? What the fuck are you talking about?
The island where the Godzilla and Little live is called Bass Island.
Okay.
It's just,
and it's not like other islands that had children on them. Is that the joke?
You tell me. You're named close to it.
It is not like other islands that had children on them.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, you can find me.
And while you're at Bass Island, you can
find me at Eldritch B on everything that's worthwhile. I don't know. I haven't posted shit in a while, but I might be working on some shit. I've got some shit in the pipeline. Watch this space.
Yeah, watch this space. And as always, please follow the pod at mechapodzilla.bluesky.social. Please rate and review the podcast, but only if you're going to do 5 stars. Otherwise, why bother? Mm-hmm. And next time on the show, look at the radiation.
And I'm not joking.